I'm turning to Matthew's Gospel tonight, chapter 8. Begin reading at verse 18. And if you will, please read with me through verse number 34. That's the remainder of the chapter. And beginning at verse 18, we'll give you a little picture of the background for the message for tonight. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there rose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gerasenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Our Father, tonight we thank you for the word of God. We bow our head before you, realizing that our righteousness is only filthy rags in the sight of God, in the sight of Jesus. We thank you tonight for the covering of your precious blood. And as we speak to men and women from the word of truth that you have given by the anointing of the Holy Ghost tonight, lead us, Lord, to win that soul that may be straying and bring them to the knowledge that Jesus loves them tonight and died for them upon the cross that they might have this wonderful eternal life, salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From this scripture reading tonight, my sermon text or title would be Unclaimed and Unwanted. Unclaimed and unwanted. Now, I know this is Palm Sunday, and ordinarily we'd be preaching about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, about the people hollering Hosanna unto the King, pulling off their clothes and spreading them in the way in the palm branches as he made his entry. He knew his time. John said he knew the hour was at hand. But I thought so much of this, and as I've prayed and waited upon God for the message tonight, yet he rode into Jerusalem, and they cried, Hail, King of the Jews! And the Jews said no, and everybody else said no, and the scripture tells you in John's Gospel, in the first chapter, in the 12th verse, he came to his own, and his own received him not. So this is the reason for the title tonight, Unclaimed and Unwanted. If you notice in the scripture that I read to you, it said that the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. No one wanted Jesus. Notice this. I cannot imagine a people that would reject such a man as was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was such an humble, pure, spotless, and wonderful person. All should have loved him at first sight. He was so compassionate, for everywhere you read of him, and when he looked upon the people and he saw the conditions that would exist, he would say that he was moved with compassion upon them. And all of the many miracles and the things that he performed, you could feel the compassion as it flowed out of him. And yet he was unclaimed and unwanted. Who is this unwanted person? He was the Son of God. As you know, the devil recognized him and said, Jesus, you've come, thou Son of God, to torment us before time. And his scripture tells you in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Who is this unwanted person? He is the man who died for you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 3, the apostle Paul said, I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. This is the unwanted, the unclaimed man tonight in this world that you and I are living, as it was in this day when he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, unclaimed and unwanted. Who is he? He is that lowly Nazarene. John, the first chapter, verse 45, and Philip findeth Nathanael, his brother, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We have discovered him. Oh, who is this unwanted person tonight? He is the only hope for this world. This world tonight is in a hopeless, helpless condition. Only Jesus is the only way out. He's the only hope. He's the only hope of the dilemma that the world finds itself in tonight. Never have we seen the domestic problems that we're faced with today. Never have we seen the homes that are being racked and torn apart and torn asunder by the violence of sin beyond the imagination of mind. But Peter said in 1 Peter the first chapter and verse 13, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up your mind. Satan is making an attack upon the mind of man, and man thinks this is the thinking matter. We've always said, well, it's the heart. The Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We've known now through scientific discovery that the heart really isn't the thing that dies in man. Man dies and his soul leaves his body, goes on to meet his God. And yet that little muscle that's called the heart that pumps the blood, hours after he's dead, they take it out and can transplant it, and a man's still living with somebody else's heart who died a long time ago. And they found that the seed of man and his thinking is in the vital issues and tissues of the brain that conveys these things. And we read, and these scriptures are becoming more plain. Gird up your mind. Gird up your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet he humbled himself and took upon himself the form of man and died the death of the cross. This is the man that's unclaimed and unwanted, the only hope for the world. He was the one who was willing to suffer in our place, the one that was willing to take my sins, my condemnation, my my judgment upon himself as he hanged upon that cross. For Paul wrote to us in Romans the 5th chapter and in the 8th verse, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me ask you tonight, have you ever thought of it? Have you ever taken time to realize that when you was away from God, you knew nothing of God? And I've thought of this so many, many times, how God turned his love toward me when my heart was hard and filled with nothing but hatred and violence and sin and iniquity. I lay in that hospital in Port Arthur, Texas, between life and death. Never knew that really there was a God. Never knew really that there was a Bible. I never knew really that there was a heaven or a hell, my friend. But somehow God turned his love toward us. God commended his love toward me while I was yet a sinner and rejecting God, rebellious and away from his cause. And that Christ died for me and for my soul to be saved. Who is this man? A person who never uttered a murmuring word while dying for our sins. Isaiah gives you the picture in the 53rd chapter and the 7th verse. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not. But there, my friend, he died for you and me. This is a little picture tonight, a small picture of this unclaimed and unwanted man. Who was against this man? Who rejected him? Many, many, many of the people. Luke tells us in Luke chapter 19 and verses 14 that the people said, we will not have this man to reign over us. We will not accept him. We will not claim him. He is absolutely unwanted. And I read to you in the text that after he performed this wonderful miracle, two men that could not be tamed, crying in the tombs night and day, and people were afraid, and it was impossible for many people even to pass that way. And Jesus came and spoke the word, and the devils left. They were sitting clothed and in their right mind. And the people of the city came out. It said the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, did they accept him? Did they claim him? Said, wonderful. Oh, what a wonderful miracle it has happened. And these two men now have been tamed. These two men now are filled with love. These two men now are filled with joy. These two men are filled with peace. No, my friend, the whole city besought him, Jesus, will you please leave our coast? Will you please take your leave and let these devils come back? This is what is breaking the heart of men and women tonight. This whole entire world is so much saying, Jesus, will you please go on your way? Will you please not bother us with convicting us? Will you please leave out of the picture and let us have the devil? And so that it tears and rents and destroys mankind. We'd rather have it. The whole city. Many of the people said, we'll not have him. The chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees came and said, Jesus, will you please leave? You're disturbing our order of religious worship. Oh, if there's ever a time, friend, when the church need to be disturbed, it's tonight. If there was ever a time when the power of the Holy Ghost needs to break in on us and disturb our orders of religious worship, it's now. We're too easy to get in a rut. to get in this one little channel and think God has to work in this little area or he don't work at all. It's time, oh Holy Spirit, to come and to disturb our religious worship. He disturbed them so. And they said, will you please leave? And the religious men of the day, the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and the officers have said, please leave our coast. Don't stay here any longer. Pilate also said in John 19, 6 and 7, take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews said, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. Luke 2 and 7 says that there was no room for him in the end. There was no bed for him to be born in. He had to go to the manger, unclaimed and unwanted. Let me ask you the question tonight. You that are here and without God in your heart, do you want Jesus tonight? Will you claim him? Or will you say, like this whole city said in the 8th chapter, will you please take leave now? Will you get in your boat and just sail off and leave us alone? Leave us to the devils. Leave us to those spirits that comes and tears men and binds them and destroys them and destroys property. Leave this to... This is the condition that the world is in tonight. Unclaimed and unwanted. Who is it? Who is against him? There was no room for him in the end. And the world today has no time for Jesus. They're trying to find the answer politically. They're trying to find the answer scientifically. They're trying to work it out. And as the missionary spoke this morning, the psychiatrist has come to the end of the road. And you tonight without God, in whatever way you may be trying to pursue your life, you're going to find out that when you come to the end of the road, you will meet God. There is God waiting, my friend, with the answer. And oh, tonight, how wonderful it would be in this service if you tonight would open your heart and say, Jesus, I claim you tonight. I want you. I don't want you to depart from my coast. Oh, thank God, I want to accept you as you really are. Why was he not a man to be desired? Why was it that they wanted to get rid of him? Will you think with me for a moment that all that Jesus ever did when he came upon the face of this earth, my friend, was to bring joy and peace and gladness where there'd been nothing but sorrow and darkness and murders and complaints from the people? Will you think with me tonight that he healed the sick that was sick, that he gave sight to men that was born blind, that had never been able to see, and he caused the dumb that had never been able to talk to speak? He caused the man to leap that had been lame from his mother's womb. My friend, he raised the dead, and yet by many he was unwanted. Will you please leave my coast? If you think of just the little nucleus of people that actually accepted Jesus, will you think with me that out of all that they had assembled there, that only 120 people after his death really had made the consecration enough to go and obey his word and wait upon him, unclaimed and unwanted in a world without God, a world steeped in darkness and in sin? And yet tonight, there's men and women in this congregation that have said the same thing in their heart. Why was he a man that was not to be desired, when all that he wants to do is to heal your broken heart? All he wants to do is to heal your broken body. All he wants to do is to make the dumb speak. Thank God. All he wants to do is to loose you from your habits and your sin. And all he really wants to do is give you eternal life in the throne of his glory forever and forever. How can any man, any woman ever say, Jesus, will you take leave, please? I don't want to claim you. I don't want you. And yet, we read that the whole city came out to see him. And when they saw him, they asked him, merely to leave. Tonight, will you go away from this service? Will you leave after the Holy Spirit has been here as He has been tonight? And say in your own heart, Jesus, you'll please just leave. Jesus, don't bother me. I don't want to be healed. I want to stay sick. I want to stay sick in body. I want to stay sick in mind. I want to stay dumb. I want to stay steeped in darkness with no light. I don't even want to see. I don't want to hear. And I don't want to be raised from the dead. Just leave me lame. Let me hobble on through life. You say, well, Pastor, a man that would say that would be crazy. Yet, my friend, by our actions, that speaks louder than the words. And this group that came, this whole city, said, Jesus, we will not accept you. All we want you to do is to leave. Get in your ship and go back from where you came. Oh, and here stood two men. Everybody knew them. Everybody seen. Everybody understood. Everybody could tell by looking that a tremendous change had come in their lives. Ah, friend, how about you tonight? Can you look at some men and women that you know and see that tremendous change in their life? And yet you can say, I'll not claim you. I don't want you. The devil caused it to be in the hearts of the people to oppose the Savior so that many, many would die and go to the lake of fire. And even his own brothers in John 7:5, they refused to believe him. They refused to accept him. And many questioned whether he was the real Savior tonight. And this is the inroad that Satan is making in the lives and minds of many women tonight. They're saying it isn't so, that God is dead, that there really is no God. And this is confusing the mind of the entire world. Oh, somehow if God could get a hold of us tonight, my friend. Oh, thank God. And wake us to the fact that we need Him tonight more than we've ever needed Him before in all of this world. Even as Christians, we need Him more. And then let me close with this question. Do you want this unwanted and unclaimed man to be your friend? What a beautiful song Jack and Jeanette just sang. How long has it been since you knelt and asked Him to be your friend? How far you drifted away from God and His call upon your heart. How long has it been since you humbled your heart before Him and knelt and said, Jesus, I want you to come in. Because He sticketh closer to you than a brother. Proverbs tells us in the 18th chapter and verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I'm glad tonight that I know Him. I'm glad that when men in this life misunderstand us, I'm glad that when men condemn us and men turn their back upon us and men go away whom we have counted perhaps as our best friend, yet we have one. Thank God that said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Though we do despite unto the Spirit of grace, though we sin against Him, though we turn our back upon Him like Peter turned his back, he cursed and he swore, but he didn't leave him. The next time when he met Peter, he asked him, do you love me, Peter? I'm still your friend. Oh, tonight he's talking to every man and woman on this Palm Sunday night when he knows that his hour is closing in upon him. Do you want to claim this unwanted man as your friend tonight? He's giving himself to this entire world. And oh, what a change would take place if somehow God could break in upon this nation of America tonight with all of its racial troubles and its war-torn strife. If God could break in upon it and man could see his need and humble himself and take Christ in his heart, it would heal the problems, brother, sister. Oh, You talk about healing up the wounds. You talk about healing the problems. But we're living in an hour when everybody's on an edge. Everybody's got their own ideas. Everybody wants to complain. Everybody wants to fight. Everybody wants to bicker. Everybody wants to tear asunder. This is not right. That's not right. Friend, this is not for the church. It's time for the church to come together. It's time for the church to claim this man as their friend. Thank God. And somebody said, well, because they don't do right up there at that church, or this don't do right, I'm not paying my tithes. Friend, you're missing what God wants you to do. When you pay your tithes, it's not any of your business what happens to that money after that. You've done what God says for you to do, and you're clear before God. The person that receives them and the church that receives them, if they don't disperse them according to the will of God, they have to answer, not you or not me. Oh, friend, and if they don't run it just like I want it run or you want it run, and when we are trying to do our best, my friend, listen, it is not my business. It's God's business. Oh, let us claim him because he is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When all others fail, and there's that old song that we used to sing many years ago, haven't heard it in years now, if mother don't go, I'll journey on. Friend, there was a day when God was pouring his spirit out, when some young man and some young girl would get saved in the altar, and the mother would get hard and bitter and make it so tough until that boy or girl could hardly even stay at home. But how true that song was, if mother don't want to go, I'll journey on. Oh, praise God. And they used to sing, if father don't want to go, I'll journey on. I know what that was like. For 14 long years, my father cursed and swore and said, that religious fanatic, I'll not even go to his house and eat, because you got to pray an hour before he eats. But I said, if dad don't want to go, I'm going on. Listen, this is the time that God is wanting us to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, my Savior, your Savior in your heart. Oh, hallelujah to God. And let's journey on. We can journey on with the glorious victories in our heart and in our soul. He is a help in the time of trouble. If you've run into trouble, turn to Psalms 46 and 1 and read in the first verse, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Friend, we've never been in trouble like we're in trouble tonight. Did you hear me? We thought in the days of the Depression, when the revival meeting was sweeping across the land, and when people of other denominations were getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, and they were condemning us as that tongue-talking, fanatical, holy roller bunch from down on the other side of the tracks. And in the meetings, a few rocks would come, and a few rotten eggs and some tomatoes, and you walk down the street and you could hear them sneering and making a lot of fun. That day is past and gone. We've moved uptown and we've got on the front street now. But my friend, do we still have the same power? Do we still have the same zeal? Do we still have the same consecration that we said, regardless of what happens, we're going to move on with God? Oh, friend, we're in a different kind of trouble tonight than we was in the days of the Depression. All we would do is go and pray. I've seen fathers be so outraged and so mad until they'd literally come right in the altar and push the altar workers out of the way and grab a boy or girl by the hair and jerk them up on their feet and lead them out from under a tent or a brush arbor and carry them home, cursing and swearing and saying they'd whip the preacher and everybody else, and sometime they did. But my friend, we thought we had trouble. But listen, we've got trouble tonight like we've never had before, because Satan is undermining the faith of the church. Satan is undermining of that old-fashioned trust. Satan is undermining that belief that we've stood on all of these years, and he's doing it in such a subtle way until it's almost as an angel of light. But oh, Oh, thank God. In the midst of it all, God's got a church that's going to come marching out of the wilderness, out of the wilderness of sin, out of the wilderness of darkness, out of the wilderness of complex situations. The church is going to come marching with a banner. Hallelujah. Glory to God, as they did that day when they came into Jerusalem, shouting Hosanna to the King. Hallelujah. They're going to be waving, shouting praises unto God. Oh, John said, I looked and I saw, and I said, who are these? And Jesus said, these are they that have come up out of great tribulation and have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. Glory to God. Friend, tonight I'm encouraging you to get close to God and to claim this unclaimed and unwanted man. Humanity only goes to the grave. That's as far as it can go. Humanity can stand by the side as the preacher, and we don't even do this anymore because so many people don't want it. And used to take the flowers, and sometimes we'd take some of the clods of dirt and crumble it up and put it on top of the casket and said, ashes to ashes and dust to dust, and the spirit returned unto God who gave it. But they said, this is too much on the people as they sit at the grave. And they cover it over real nice, and the hole is covered. They used to stay right there until it was let down in it, and all of the dirt was put in, and the dirt was mounded over, and then the flowers were rearranged on the little mound of dirt and everything. People were more conscious of the death that is sure to come to every man. Humanity only goes to the grave, and there it has to stop. But this unwanted man that I'm talking to you about tonight goes beyond the grave. Hallelujah. Oh. If in this life only you've got hope, you're a miserable man. You're a wretched man. My friend, you're an undone man. When they carry you to the grave and they said, now if you go home, we'll take care of everything else, and you can come back, and it'll make it a little bit easier for you. Oh, yes, Satan wants to make it as easy as possible. You can come back and you can visit and look, and it'll all be nice and fixed, and the sod will be put back over, and the flowers will be there, and it won't look near as cold and dismal and dark. Humanity only goes that far. But this unwanted, unclaimed person tonight that they said, depart from our coast, he goes further than that. Thank God tonight he is offering himself to you. This unwanted man is the greatest friend that the world ever had, and they don't know it. He's the greatest friend that you ever had, and you don't know it tonight if you don't know Jesus. For without him, we would be in total darkness. We're almost in total darkness now. But without Jesus, there would be no ray of light. But oh, thank God, I sense that the Holy Spirit is breaking in on this service tonight in a powerful way, a deep moving way tonight, thank God, into the very soul of man. Remember this, that humanity goes and stands at the edge of the grave, but this friend that sticketh closer than a brother goes on the other side of the grave. Hallelujah to God. Oh, would you put your trust in him? Or will you say tonight by your action and deed and word, I don't want to claim him. I don't want him. Will you leave this coast? Will you go away? Shall we pray? Our Father tonight, will you let the Holy Spirit, thank God, move in even a deeper way tonight? Will you let our hearts be broken and melted by the moving and compassionate Holy Spirit? Will you let that man or that woman that has known you and drifted far, far from the shore, Lord, on this Palm Sunday night, come back to God's altar. There where he'll find mercy, there where he'll find grace, because there is mercy and there is grace. Pardon was free at Calvary, and it's still there tonight, Lord. Oh, Oh, yes, because we haven't got to the judgment yet. Lord, there is a way for us to get to you tonight through the Spirit. Don't let the devil blind us tonight and cause us to say within our hearts, go away, Jesus, go away, Jesus. But may he woo us, and we will arise and come to Jesus. Friend, you can't make it in yourself, and Jesus knows it tonight. But thank God, Jesus will go with you and help you to make it. Oh, hallelujah. And if it wasn't for him, there wouldn't be any of us making it tonight. No man's making it on his own merits. No man can go through on his own. But my friend, tonight as we lean upon Jesus, thank God he'll carry us through. And is that man, woman, or boy, or girl in this congregation on Palm Sunday night saying, Pastor, I need to come to Jesus. I want to claim him tonight. I want to crown him tonight as Savior and Lord. I want to crown this unwanted person as King of my heart tonight. I know that I've made many mistakes. I know that I've faltered. I know that I've failed. My friend, let me ask you, as I did at a funeral service not long ago, who hasn't made them? Who hasn't made their mistakes? Who hasn't faltered? Who hasn't stumbled along? But oh, friend, that man or that woman that's fell and stayed there is the one that's losing out with God. The man or the woman that gets up and comes back unto God's altar finds that wonderful, marvelous grace of Jesus. They're ready and willing and to help and pick him up out of that sin, out of that gutter, and restore the joy of the Lord within their life. Will you do it tonight as the Spirit of God is in here in such a marvelous way? The pull of God is strong tonight. I feel such strength coming from the Spirit to the heart of that man or woman that needs some help from God. Tonight, will it be said of you as you walk away, Jesus is unclaimed and unwanted. No room for him in my heart. No room for him in my home. No room for Jesus tonight. But remember, the tide will turn one day, and Jesus will say, there is no room for you. But oh, how wonderful to hear him say, come ye blessed of the Lord, inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you from the foundations of the world. And heads are bowed, and the Christians are praying and opening their heart to the Spirit. Will you get up out of that seat right now and just wend your way to this altar tonight and say, yes, Pastor, I'm coming right now because I realize my need. I realize my need. I realize my need, and I need some help from Jesus tonight. We want to pray for you. We want to pray with you tonight. We want to see you claim this man as your friend tonight that'll stick closer than a brother. Will you do it quickly? Who will be the first one to make a move? Who will be first to get up right where you're sitting right now with nobody looking to embarrass you and wend your way to the altar and say, yes, I want to accept Jesus as my friend tonight. Tonight, he comes riding into my heart on Palm Sunday night as King and Lord and Savior. Will you let him? Will you claim him tonight? This is the question. Quickly, who will be first to get up right now to answer the call? Answer the call. Hurry, quickly, as the Spirit has been dealing with your heart. There's a tremendous grip of the Spirit of God in your soul. God is speaking. Yes, thank you. Keep praying with me. There's others in here tonight. I'm fishing for men tonight. I'm feeling for the hearts of men tonight. I don't believe your heart is that hard that you want to look in the eyes of Jesus and say, I don't want to be healed. I don't want to see. I want to stay blind. I want to stay crippled. I want to stay helpless. I want to stay hopeless like I am. Leave me, Jesus. Leave me. No, I don't believe it tonight. I'll never believe it tonight because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came, friend, tonight to bring light and joy and salvation and peace and happiness in your home, in your life, in your heart. Oh, yes, I tried, Pastor, I didn't make it. Oh, yes, I've heard this, and the devil is trying to darken the minds of men and damn them in hell with it. But friend, it isn't so. You can go again and again and again and again. Come on, come on. Praise God. Right now, the Spirit's moving and the Holy Ghost is pleading. Get up out of that seat like this little man did just now and make your way to this altar. And God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. Will you do it right now? As he whispers to you, come my child, I love you. Come my child, I'll save you. Come my child, I'll redeem you. Come my child, I'll restore you. This is the ministry of reconciliation, bringing man in relationship to God. This is what it means, reconcile, reconcile to God. Bless you. Keep your head bowed. Keep praying. God's moving in here tonight. This is Palm Sunday night. Oh, Jesus is riding in tonight on the little colt, the foal of an ass. And you said, well, I expected him to come as a great king. He is the king. You can crown him king. You can crown him savior. You can crown him Lord. Oh, God. There's mercy here tonight. There's grace here tonight. Friend, there's compassion here tonight. You can be saved. You can be reclaimed. You can be reconciled. You can come back to God. And this is the only way out of the dilemma. This is the only way out of your problem. This is the only way for the world's problem tonight. There is no other way, friend. Hear me when I tell you there's no other way tonight. Will you come? Pastor, I need some help. We want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. Friend, you can go back to the world. You can go back to all of the things that the world, but your heart can never be satisfied. It can never be happy. Oh, maybe for a few moments, and it's gone. It's so fleeting. But thank God tonight when you have that assurance that you're right, right in the sight of God. How many more? Thank God for these that have come. But there's others in here, and my heart is real heavy. Bear with me, will you please, as I plead for the souls of men, because I might not have another opportunity to plead for that same soul again. And Jesus is presenting himself to you as the unclaimed, unwanted man. Why? Ask yourself the question. Why will I not accept him? Why will I not take him? Why will I not claim him? Has he ever done you wrong? Has he ever treated you bad? Has he ever turned his back? No, not one time. Not one time has he ever did this to you. We've done it to him, but he hasn't done it to us. Friend, and he's still waiting there tonight with that same love, that same compassion that goes beyond the love of the human being, that goes beyond the understanding of the love of mankind, because we get discouraged with a person after a while and we want to write him off the book, but not Jesus. He is here tonight as he was in the tomb to cleanse the man from the spirits of demons. But yet the whole city said, Jesus, will you please leave? All of our hogs have been drowned in the sea.